All right, we are going to get into the 1010 session, Student Loan Litigation Easier Than You Think. The panel today is Professor Giuliano from the University of Utah Quinney College of Law. I think that he and Judge Bradley are going to have a little bit of a degree off with their many impressive advanced degrees here after this session. And then Judge Cecilia Morris from the Southern District of New York, Poughkeepsie. Since I will probably never practice in front of her, I feel comfortable saying this. Usually when I find an opinion from Judge Morris, I stop looking. And she writes some wonderful stuff on consumer issues particularly. So with that, panel, please.
Thank you. Before you begin, Jason, I want to say something about, I want to publicly thank Jay for this program. It is amazing. And then Greg and his team for what they've done to put it together. Having been a participant in putting CLEs together, to see this one so well run is amazing. So kudos to them.
Yeah, definitely. And also, we're going to save some time for questions at the end. So please feel free to weigh in then, because we really want to hear your feedback, what's interesting to you, and sort of tackle those questions. The way we're going to break it up, I think I'm going to talk for about 10 minutes on the backdrop of student loan debt. So how did we get into this problem? And more specifically, what are the what I think of as misconceptions surrounding the discharge of student loan debt. And then Judge Morris is going to weigh in on some of the new changes that the Department of Education and the Department of Justice have done to make student loan discharges even easier. And so very, very much against the conventional wisdom that they're quite impossible to discharge. And so we hope to convince you that more bankruptcy attorneys should be taking up these cases. Okay, so what's been ticking away for the past few minutes is the student loan debt clock. And so it's over $1.7 trillion at this point. Now that interest is accruing again, every second, $3,000 added to that debt clock. And so just sort of a constant ratcheting up. At this point, it's more than car auto loan debt, more than credit card debt. It's second only to mortgage debt among consumers. And so it's a very, very significant pile, sizable chunk of all consumer debt that's out there. And again, $1.7 trillion and counting. That's always the top level number that's held up as sort of the important statistic. And it is one important statistic, but for bankruptcy attorneys, I think there's an even more important number to keep in mind. And that one is 99.9. And what 99.9 is, it's the percentage of student loan debtors who come into bankruptcy with student loan debt, but then leave bankruptcy without discharging their student loan debt. And so if you think about that, that means only one in every 1,000 student loan debtors gets a discharge in bankruptcy. So a really, really bad percentage, at least facially at first glance. And made a little chart, doesn't make it any better when you see it in sort of a bar graph there or a pie chart. It's disheartening either way. There's really no, it looks pretty bad. And the conventional wisdom kind of stops there. It says no one succeeds and that's the end. But I want to paint a different picture, some data I've collected over the years, and some, as I said, Judge Moore is going to talk about some changes that have occurred that I think paint a much more optimistic picture than these charts show. And so the first thing I want to talk about is the basic process for determining whether or not a student loan is discharged in bankruptcy. And there's actually two steps. The first step is to ask, is the loan actually a student loan under Section 523A8? And so does it meet one of the criteria to be a non-dischargeable student loan? Lots of student loans don't, and there's a conception that everything that we sort of colloquially think of as a student loan is a student loan, and that's not the case. And so that's the first question here. And if it doesn't meet one of those criteria, which I'll talk about in a second, then it's dischargeable. You don't even need to go to the second step. But if it does, a lot of debt does. If it does, then you go to the second step, and that's the undue hardship test. And so that's what a lot of people are familiar with. And there the judge has to answer, would repayment impose an undue hardship on the student loan debtor? And if it would, again, it's dischargeable. It's only at that point, if you get a no down there, that it is not dischargeable. And so there's two different off-ramps to dischargeability for student loan debt. And I don't think they're appreciated enough. And so I want to talk about each step briefly and the types of debt that fit into them. So step one, is the loan accepted under Section 523A8 of the Bankruptcy Code? And let's go back. We've got $1.7 trillion of total educational debt. I'm going to briefly throw up some of the provisions that bear on it. And so there's three distinct provisions in 523A8 that define what student loan debt is. The first one says an educational benefit overpayment or loan made, insured, or guaranteed by a governmental unit.